I'm Doug Nadvornik. Today on the Inland Journal podcast, correspondent John Vlahovic has the next in a series of interviews with the candidates for Spokane Valley City Council. Today he talks with Dr. Bo Tucker. Tucker is one of the two finalists for City Council Position 6. His opponent is Tim Hattenberg, from whom we heard in our last podcast. Tucker operates two businesses in the city, including a chiropractic practice. It's his first campaign for elective office. He's a self-described fiscal conservative. His campaign focuses on public safety and infrastructure, including the maintenance of the city streets. If elected, he says he would work to improve available and affordable housing in the state's ninth largest city. Tucker finished first among the four candidates in his August primary race, receiving nearly 29% of the vote. Here he is with John Vlahovic.
I want to start by just getting a little background from you, how long you've been living in Spokane Valley and what got you interested in seeking the city council office.
My wife, Dina, and I, we moved to Spokane Valley with our two oldest children back in 1997, and I now have six kids. We moved to Spokane in January, just after the ice storm, and we have raised a family. We chose the valley. We lived in Spokane for about 6 months and then chose my practice to be in the valley because I love the valley quite a bit, and raising my family here, I've really enjoyed it. We have a great school district there, and so that's the main reason why I chose the valley to run my practice, and I've been doing that since 1997. So,
you list in your campaign literature that you would work to maintain conservative fiscal city government. Let's go into a little detail on what you see as fiscal conservatism.
So fiscal conservatism is, I basically run a business. I run two corporations right now. And through that process, I've learned that if you can't make money in order to run a business, you're not going to be in business very long. And so in my mind, government should be the same. So government needs to run like a business. So it has a budget, it has allocated funds, and the government needs to stick to that as much as it possibly can. And if it can't, then obviously it's going to have to talk to its residents to figure out what's the best approach. And that would be my approach, is if we felt like there was something that the Valley needed to do, communication with the residents would be critical. Also, regulation, I think, is an important part of that. Keeping regulation to a minimum, but also providing the infrastructure that's necessary for people to have quality of life.
So when you talk about infrastructure, you're talking about streets?
Yes, sir. Yes.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
One of the issues that the city council's been working on for some months now has been, how do we get the necessary money to keep the existing infrastructure at top condition?
Yep, absolutely.
If you were sitting on the city council right now, what position would you be taking in terms of, would you be looking at maybe an additional tax, since the telephone revenue and the other sources of revenue for streets is kind of static or declining?
Yes, it has declined in recent years, obviously, with the change of cell phones to landlines. I think the biggest thing there would be communication with the public, actually, about what level of streets they want. I think if you drive down to Spokane, there's a difference in the way that they maintain their roads. And so I feel like we'd want to find a way from taking from the surplus every year to making sure that it's actually written in the budget so that it can be maintained. That's probably the biggest factor. As far as how to go about doing it, I've not spent a lot of time on the city council as far as all the options that are available, but I feel that communication is critical with the residents to find out their priorities in that area.
City of Spokane several years ago created a transportation benefit district. They charge a $20 fee per car on your license tab, and that money goes into street repair and maintenance. Have you considered a similar approach for Spokane Valley?
Well, the question I'd ask is, how well did it work? I don't know that answer. So that would be part of the investigation and the research to figure out if it worked well, then we would consider it. If it was good for the people, then great. If it's not, then there's no use putting it in place, especially something that was not effective.
There's a planning that goes on for the future of Spokane Valley. How, and that ties into regulation, zoning, this sort of thing. So where do you stand on planning and zoning and that type of regulation?
Okay. So I'm a business owner, and as a business owner, I believe in development. I believe that it's good for the community to grow, especially economically, because then it can have the resources and a larger tax base to draw from, as opposed to taxing more per capita. If there's more capita, less tax for each. So in my mind, from business growth is something that I would encourage. But I also want to make sure that when we do infrastructure for that business, and especially in the residential areas, that the people are being taken care of in that environment, meaning that if there's open spaces, green spaces, or things that need to be put into place so people have a quality of life, that needs to be considered. So keeping regulations to a minimum, I think, is really important for growth and development. But I also feel that once it's put in place, the people need to be able to have a quality of life.
Along those same lines, there's a lot of growth just outside Spokane Valley, in Spokane County, particularly in the southeast area. There's Saltese and the 24th,
yes,
and Sullivan line,
yep,
down there. How do you mitigate the problem that growth from outside the valley that's not contributing to the Spokane Valley budget at all, but is probably using infrastructure like streets and roads?
Right. So that's something where, as a city councilman, that will need to be developed and researched, because at times cities, they annex different districts, different locations, and it would be a matter of figuring out what would be the best thing to do for the city and for the people. Because I've talked to residents actually up Morningside area and such. There are some challenges. The inlets that get up into that area are minimal. There's not really sidewalks to support people walking up in there, which is a cost. When you look at the budgeting of the city, then we have to take that into account. So there's definitely a couple different sides to every story in trying to figure out what's the best for the people, short-term and long-term.
The current city council objectives include pursuing financing for additional parks, Browns Park, Balfour Park, the Appleway Trail. Are you on board with that, or do you have other priorities?
Well, I think that parks and recreation is a priority of the city council, and actually has been. I think that continuing that process is going to be very important. The Balfour, and then the one right next to Marabou Park is a good location, and that has just been put together by the city council, and that I think we're going to learn a lot about in the next couple of years, which is kind of exciting, because for a city to grow, it needs to have a sense of community. And you know, sidewalks, they're just sidewalks, but if you have it in a park area, people can gather and have a sense of community, things of that nature.
So you're basically on board that parks are an important part of
the
city's atmosphere.
Yes, they are, absolutely. And that goes along with the infrastructure, I think, as well, making sure that it's amenable for safety, public safety for sure, things of that nature.
In terms of financing, Spokane Valley has not increased its property tax levy to at the 1% allowable level for a number of years now.
10 years, yeah.
Yeah. Are you comfortable with that?
Well, the less tax, the better. I'm very comfortable with it. However, if there's needs that the community has, that the residents see fit, then I think we need to listen to the public and decide what is going to be the best way to take care of the needs that we have. Because those things don't go away, and they have to be paid for by some way. So it's a matter of figuring out how do we go about doing it.
How do you see the best way of going about getting input from citizenry in general?
That's a tough one, because as I've talked to city council members, it's difficult because their time frames and my time frame will be challenged. But also, when I talk to a lot of residents, they never get word back from their council. That's been something I've heard as I've gone out door to door and talked with people. So how to go about doing that, I think, is critical. I think when it comes to something that's important, I think we need to continue the city council meetings, obviously, because that's a great resource that people can communicate what's going on. As those budget things come in place, I think maybe trying to get out more about what is being discussed in the city council meetings so that people who have an interest might be able to be interested in coming out to put input into what we're deciding, I think is important. So I just want the thing I would try to do in the city council meetings, make sure that a way for people to be heard and for people to feel like it's a good environment for them to communicate their concerns, also their wishes.
Do you have any thoughts as to how you keep in the public forum part of the council meetings, not in, only in Spokane Valley, but virtually every other community I've been familiar with, the same small group of people kind of dominate those public forums. Do you have any thoughts as to how you avoid that problem?
Well, I'd have to say, look at my own situation. I decided to run for city council because I was tired of not doing anything. I have plenty to do. I run two corporations right now. I'm very busy. But I also felt like if people don't get involved, then they don't get represented. So it's a matter of getting people on board. And I do have some thoughts about how I'd go about doing that as a city council member. And I do feel like people need to have a strong sense of community and a strong contribution to their community. And I feel like those are really important items. Apathy is a difficult thing because when residents don't, when they don't take part, then the government doesn't know what to do or what their needs are. But as I've gone and talked to people door to door, I've gotten a pretty good feel for what people want and what's happening.
What kind of reception are you getting when you knock on doors during this campaign?
Actually, it's been great. It really has been wonderful. People, when I talk to them and kind of tell them my position, they want things to continue the way things are going in Spokane. I've heard people who are challenged feel like, you know, the parks aren't the way they want them to be, or they talk about different things. Infrastructure, I think, is an important thing for people and contributing to their quality of life.
Among the infrastructure projects, the big one really is the Bridging the Valley.
Yes.
They're talking about major intersection changes at Barker and Trent, Pines and Trent, even Park and Trent. Have you looked into that, and are you comfortable with the approach they're taking with these?
So right now, as you know, Barker Road is being worked on and will be finished shortly. The paving of it will be done, I believe, by Thanksgiving. But then in the springtime, the actual bridging will begin over the railroad on Trent and Barker with a roundabout put in place. So I as far as roundabouts go, I think we've got to make sure that flow is an important part, and congestion is something that I would like, maybe personally, I'd like to minimize. If I have input, it will be towards reducing congestion, because I work on Sullivan Road. It's the third heaviest traveled road in Spokane County. And I will tell you, I know a little bit about congestion of patients trying to get to my office. And so I've actually talked to city council members actually about that already, about congestion and how we can alleviate that as much as possible. And that is something definitely I'm going to be interested in working on.
How do you see Sullivan being mitigated, say, between Sprague and the freeway interchange there? That's the really heavy traffic.
It is congested quite a bit. You know, it's funny because when I first got into Sullivan, one of the biggest things that was going on is they were doing work on Sullivan Road. And the first time they closed the entire intersection down for an entire month, my patient load dropped 50%. As soon as they opened the road back up, then it came back to normal. The second time they worked on it more recently, they kept two lanes open the entire time. I did not see a drop in patient load at that time. So I think the city actually has been working to improve things, and I would like to continue that vein and try to keep working towards a lowered congestion, getting flow going through the traffic lights instead of making people stop, try to coordinate those maybe. And I don't know what all entails. So for me to say I'm going to do this or that is pie in the sky until I really understand what is going into it.
A lot of the city's budget is not actually budgeted for departmental use, like police and fire are handled by outside agencies. Do you see this as a feasible way of continuing with a growing Spokane Valley?
Well, right now, the contract that we have with Spokane City, there are two. One for public safety. We've got one that we handle our homeless, which we pay every year in a contract, and Spokane provides the services for the homeless people in the Spokane Valley. So we actually are paying Spokane. We're not just sending people over there. We're actually paying them to do the services that they provide. And then also, of course, I do support the police effort and the contract that's in force right now with Ozzie. And I think that I'd like to see that the Valley actually improve its relationship with Ozzie, because I think that's important to work together as far as government goes, especially dealing with public safety. So, and that is a huge concern for residents as far as their feeling of safety in the community.
There's been some comment from some officials in the city of Spokane that Spokane Valley is not carrying its load in terms of housing the homeless. Would you agree with that statement, or do you believe Spokane Valley is doing its share?
I think that the contract that is in place is a good contract at this point. Again, I don't know enough about the contract to state whether we're doing our share or not, because I don't know what Spokane is up against in dealing with the entire program, because it's not on my radar.
And are there any issues we haven't covered that you'd like to speak about?
I think that, again, just to kind of reiterate, I think that we need to use lean government to support the people, the residents, and what their lifestyle needs to be. I do think that we need to create and continue a strong sense of community, because traditional values that I grew up with raising my family is actually why we moved to Spokane Valley. We chose to move there because we liked what we saw, and we moved here because that's what we wanted for our family to raise them in. And I'd like to have that type of environment maintained so that other people who come to Spokane would also be able to have that benefit for their families as they raise their kids. You know, one thing about Spokane Valley that I think is important for residents to know is that fiscally, it has a surplus right now, that it's got a $4 million surplus. That money's actually accounted to go somewhere. But each year, the Valley works debt-free. It pays cash for everything up front. It has the highest credit rating of any city that it can get. And what that means is that the way that government is being run is being done properly as far as from a fiscal sense. They're not taking ideas and putting them into action without the resources to do that. Barker was paid for before we begin construction on it. Pines is almost finished being paid for, and that will happen before we begin construction on Pines, so that it's done fiscally responsibly.
And the Barker and the Pines both include federal funding as well as...
Absolutely.
That fits into your vision for the overall financing of a municipality.
Sure, absolutely. So there always are strings attached when you reach out to other funds and capital opportunities. But as far as being able to work with the financial burden of taking care of it, it's either we pay for it ourselves or we accept other monies and work together with them to make sure that it's a win-win for everybody.
That's Spokane Valley City Council candidate Bo Tucker talking with correspondent John Vlahovic. Tucker's opponent is Tim Hattenberg, from whom we heard in our last podcast. Two other council positions are up for grabs in Spokane Valley. We'll bring you John's interviews with those candidates within the next 2 weeks. We're adding one new candidate interview a day at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Go to the Regional News tab and then click on Election 2019. Subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow.